We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm here again.
Man, I'm sorry I forgot to call you last night.
Yes, you did.
It kind of got crazy on me last night, so I apologize. I'm glad you remembered and came.
Absolutely.
Got so cool. And
we have to disclose this on live radio, but it's true. It's true. Rick Spain has not shown up a couple of times.
Monica forgets to send the message in the 10 years
that we've been doing this. But, yeah, we made it.
I take full responsibility and accountability for my actions. Well, they're like up. Because I didn't make the phone call. I was praying this morning. It dawned on me this morning. I was like, it's okay.
It's all right. It's all right. Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments, and you can send it in a private message through Facebook. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church at New Liberty, located in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we do have a word from him with the Truth broadcast. We will, after this is over, we'll reset everything and come back with a word from Pastor Dwight. That word title will be Don't Be Deceived. That's going to be a good one. Just like this one is.
Yeah.
I think I covered it all. I got the nod and the yep.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Would you please pray to start us out, brother?
Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless you, Lord God. We ask for your help today. Lord God, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill every place that you're given. We give you this place today, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, to say that I am fully prepared is an understatement. But I'm not when I come in here. It's kind of funny because I think the Lord is giggling and up there in heaven, and he's saying, we're not going to give Rick what he needs to say on the Hour of Power this morning. We're going to make him trust us. Yeah, and so that's what Christian life is about, really. You know, it's interesting because, I was raised, gave my life over to the Lord in an adult way. And there's a difference between a kid and adult. You know, I think there's a decision you have to remake when you become an adult. I don't know it. That's the way it was for me. But when I gave my life to Jesus, you know, I was coming out of some bad stuff. You know, and we talk about this in the room. If you want more information, you're just going to have to come and join us sometime before we get started.
The behind
the scenes, yeah. We talk about the BCs and the ADs and the BCs after the ADs and then the ADs again, you know. And so anyway, but don't lose your train of thought here, Rick. You know, I was raised in strong faith teaching. strong faith. Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was like the father of my faith. You know, I studied what he had to say because he was, you know, just a down-home person that really brought out spiritual truths. Whatever your opinion is of him, you know, it's neither here nor there. The man had a great influence on my life. And so I started walking in the faith and exercising faith, you know, doing what he said, you do this and you'll be successful, you know, according to God's word. And so I learned to walk in faith. And so, like I say, coming on this program this morning with little to no notes, it does affect me a little bit, but I know that God will provide. And I know that this is going to be a Holy Ghost meeting this morning. So put your seatbelt on, get ready. But getting back to the being raised in the faith, strong in the faith and strong in knowing what God's word said. And so what happened is, like with most of us, if not all of us, is that we start making a formula out of Christianity. You know, and so, man, I was good. I was really good with the formulas. You know, I knew, you know, if this happens, well, you know, you go to this word and you just believe God and, you know what, it's all going to work out. Well, you know, I came to a big roadblock in my life. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And not only that, the enemy's whispering in my ear. Now, you know, I know the enemy. But he deceived me. I'm just going to tell you. He got me. You know, he got me to think that what I was going through was what God had made happen. And it wasn't. It wasn't him. Now, going through it, God's always with us in everything we go through. But the cause of it is usually not him. So what I learned when I was walking through this, I went through, and I've given my testimony on this time before, but I went through what I call 4 years of self-imposed hell because I believed a lie. I believe that God caused me great trauma. Great, I mean, just terrible, terrible trauma. And, you know, after the fact, you know, after I got through that 4 years, I was like Nebuchadnezzar in his 7-year period. My mind was restored, you know, and I came back to the Lord, and, man, he restored me. It's just amazing. But what I did learn through this is it's not about formulas. The formulas work. I'm telling you, God's word works. If you practice what his word says, you will receive what his word says you're going to receive. There's people in the world today that don't even know Jesus that operate in the principles of God's word. It works. But when it comes to Christianity, it's more than formulas. Yes, we've got formulas. We've got ways. You do this, and this is what you're going to get. You walk in that way, and you add security to your life. But I've learned that it's not about formulas. It's about relationship, getting to know him. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. You think about this. Paul was the writer of most of the New Testament. If anyone knew him, Paul did. And yet Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. You know, and this is the key, folks. You know, when we have problems, see, what happens is we start connecting more with our problems than we do with the one who can deliver us from those problems. And just like with me, what the enemy did with me, he's doing the same with you. He's saying, well, God caused this. You know, God's in control. And if he didn't want this to happen, well, it wouldn't have happened. Well, that is self-defeating in the thought itself. I do want to interject a thought. We haven't even started talking about what I thought we were going to talk about. But that's okay. You know, the enemy will come in and he's going to tell you, well, see what God did or see what God's not doing. You know, and so what happens is we begin to believe a lie. And when you believe a lie, then you lose that connection with your Creator. Now, we do understand that we are in a battle. And Tina was talking about living the supernatural life. You know, was somebody said that? Kevin Akins. Yeah, Kevin Akins talked about living the supernatural life. You know, well, how do you live the supernatural life? Well, you've got to rise above what's natural. And that's what you see, what you hear, what you feel. You know, these things. In order to raise to another level, you've got to step up. You know, and so that's a lot of our problems because, you know what? What we feel, what we see, what we hear, what people say, these things have a direct effect on us. You know, so there's two types of people in the world. And I'm just talking to you guys this morning. You know, I'm not preaching. I'm not, maybe there's some teaching stuff. Maybe there's some stuff you can get out of this. But I want you to see that there's two different types of people in this world. And there's varying degrees in either one. So there are feeling people who think. Feeling people who think. And the second category is thinking people who feel. So I want you to understand that God gave us the ability to imagine. So this is all in our soul area, is what it is. This is in our soul area. So the soul area is the interconnection between what Romans 8 and Galatians 5 calls the sinful nature of the flesh and the spirit. So I think I've talked about this before on this program, but I want you to diagram this in your mind. Or if you got a pen, write it down. Right, you got three circles. One circle is the flesh. One circle is the spirit. And the soul is interconnected in between them. So it's you got where it's got a little piece in the flesh, it's got a little piece in the soul. So that the soul is where the battle is. That's where the battle is. It's Romans 12:2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. And, you know, you go over into Romans 8, and it says, those who walk after the flesh don't think about the things in the spirit. But on the other hand, those who walk in the spirit don't think about the things of the flesh. Like I said, there's varying degrees. So we're dealing with the soul here. That's in the middle. You got the spirit, you got the flesh. Okay, so what does Romans 8 say? It says, if you walk according to the flesh, you're going to die. That's it. You're going to die. So what does that mean physically? Yeah, eventually physically. But what it's actually referring to in the period you're in right now is your soul dies because it disconnects from where God connects, and that's in our spirit. I get in this in my Monday night Bible studies, and sometimes I think I dig dig holes too deep that, you know, I don't want to lose anybody in this thought. But when we are born again and we receive Christ as our Savior, we come alive. Where do we come alive? Where? You can say it. In the Spirit. That's right. Yep, it's in the spirit man. The spirit man comes to life. Now, was that spirit man, did that mean you didn't have a spirit before you were born again? Let's use that term, born again. No, you had a spirit, but it was dead. Why was it dead? Because it was disconnected from God. Okay? Being disconnected. Remember in the beginning, in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 2 or 3, I can't remember, 3. Genesis chapter 3, God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you die, or when you do, you shall surely die. Well, we both know that Adam and Eve both ate of that fruit. And heck, they lived for another 900 years. You know, so it's not talking about a physical death. It's talking about a disconnect from the Creator. And so, remember, we've got a soul. It's in the middle. Our spirit, it's alive. You know, when we receive Jesus' free gift of grace and what he paid for, I mean, we're coming into Easter, folks, you know, and Good Friday and all that stuff, you know, Good Friday, you know, why they call it Good Friday? I don't know why they call it Good Friday, because that's when Jesus was crucified, you know, and the things that he went through for us, you know, that's the thing, what he endured, you know, and he did it. It says that he did it willingly. He didn't have to. He could have called 1,000 legions of angels out of heaven. And we're talking millions. And they'd have took him out and done away with this earth and it had been over. But willingly, he paid that sacrifice. Why? So that we can be restored back to our Heavenly Father, to our Creator. And so when we are born again, our spirit is made perfect. I want you to understand this. When you're born again, there's nothing else you can do to make your salvation more secure. Let me say that again. When you are born again, your spirit is made alive, there's nothing more that you can do to make your salvation more secure. Nothing. Zero. I want this to soak in, because this really goes against a lot of religious teaching. In that, you know, if we do this or we do that, you know, then we're going to lose our salvation. Well, if you didn't pay for it to begin with, how can you lose it by not paying for it more? You can't. And see, this is where a lot of misconcept is. And, you know, I know you can read in the Bible, and, man, I read it too. You know, and I mean, if you want to talk about the Word, when the Lord said, put this stuff in your heart, I took him at what he said, and I put it in my heart. And I meditate on this stuff day and night. And everything I put my hand to prospers, because that's what he says. You know, and so where is the battle then? If our spirit is secure, where is the battle? The battle is in, yes, it's in the mind. Tina's pointing at her head. But it's in the soul. It's in our soul. Remember, we're interconnected with the flesh and with the spirit. And so what happens is, you know, when we start walking in the Spirit, than what happens in our soul. The Bible tells us you will receive life and peace. Those who walk according to the flesh will die. Those who walk is sin and death. Those who walk according to the Spirit, life and peace. Life and peace. You know, so you can be going through the worst situation in your life, but if you're connected to Him and your soul is connected, your mind, your will, and your emotions, if those are connected, then you know what? You can be peaceful in the most controversial, toughest times in your life. You can still have peace, and you can still have life. You know, so I just go back in my experience of life, and, you know, running a business, you know, you're dealing, you know, the bigger your business gets, the more you're responsible for. And so, you know, I built a pretty decent business. Now I've kind of slacked off a little bit where, you know, I'm not as big as what I used to be, and I don't care. Doesn't matter. But anyway, you know, I've seen where my bills were stacked, I would say, 6 to 10 inches tall, and wondering how I'm going to pay those bills. And so this was a challenge to me. And this was a challenge to my soul. What I thought, how I felt, and my decisions. That is the soul. Mind, will, and or mind, emotions, and will. That's what comprises your soul. And so this is where the challenge was. So I remember the first time this happened. So I was running my business out of my house. And I had this big old stack of bills, didn't know how I was going to pay them. You know, and I'm doing what God says, and I'm trying to think about what He says. You know, I'm putting this all in me. And so I determined, well, you know what, if this is going to be a challenge to me, I want it to be a challenge that I recognize continually. Because the challenge really isn't on me. The challenge is in what I believe. And that's in my soul. What do I believe? And so I took that big old stack of bills, and man, it's probably 8 inches tall. And my TV was right by the front door. And so I stuck, this was when before we had the flat screens, this years ago, and back in the 80s. And so I took that big stack of bills and I stuck it right on top of my TV. So every time I walked in the house, that stack of bills was there. Every time I walked out, that stack of bills was there. And how did I see that stack of bills? Did I see that stack of bills as something that was gonna take me under? Or did I see it as something that God said that is going to be taken care of? God's word says if I bring my tithes and my offerings, He's going to open up the windows of heaven. You know, when I give, then I'm going to receive. If I give money, I'm going to receive money. Seed principle. And so this probably, you know, after in many phone calls, you know, you don't just ignore the people you owe. Let me bring this in. Let's bring some common sense. I didn't ignore people. I called them and said, hey, you know, this is where I am. We're going to pay these bills. You know, but it was, I think a month, maybe a month. It might have been 2 months where I had just a big stack of bills. And it was like almost immediately things began to turn. And I mean, not only was that stack of bills paid, but my bank account was more than it have ever been. It was like, whoa, it was a head spinner. But see, this is where the battle is. It's in your soul. So let's say you're going through something physically in your body. And the Bible tells us that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. That's right. So that God, one of his covenant names is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And so we think about this. Well, you know what? Sickness hits your body or disease, whatever it may be. And you know what? You can feel that sickness. And you know what the statistics are on this. And say, well, you know what? I got the 48-hour bug. If I can just get through it 48 hours, I'm going to be fine. You know, and so is that our mentality? Is that so? What we're doing is we're connecting with the flesh. The flesh says, I'm going to do it. I am going to whatever it takes to overcome this. Whereas the spirit, in the spirit, it says God, Jesus already paid the price. It's already taken care of. And so I was talking to somebody the other day, and you know, I said, when it comes to believing and trusting in God, it's not according to your circumstantial evidence. So, you know, I made the comment, you know, I've had sickness attack me, and immediately what I'm going to do is start quoting the scriptures and start connecting with what God says. By Jesus' stripes I am healed. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he's going to give life to my mortal body. And so I connect to that. You know, but it, I mean, I look back in my past, and there's been some times where I've battled this thing 4 or 5 days, you know, or just don't feel like, I mean, just feel like going to bed, you know, and just sleeping it off. But I have learned that's what the flesh wants me to do. That's the way I deal with it. The way God deals with it, he said, and what he says will come to pass. So what are we talking about? We're talking about where the battle is. You know, and are we going to get into where are we? I guess we can apply this to, yeah, where are we? You know, so this is nowhere near what I thought we were going to talk about. But that's fine, because I believe, you know, I'm trusting God. I believe this is the direction Holy Spirit wants us to go. So your battle is in the soul area. This is where the enemy attacks you. I don't know when you want to take a break, Monica. Whenever I can keep going, or you.
It's now good.
Now's good.